first one today, Delaware Ducks Unlimited.
That's a council effort, right? All of us?
Which chapter is this?
Nanticoke chapter.
Oh, thank you for correcting me.
Nanticoke chapter.
This is not the Green Wing event.
Nanticoke chapter.
I thought he said it was.
No, I was wrong.
Land preservation.
I admit when I'm wrong. I'm wrong. You don't admit when you're wrong. I admit I am wrong.
I'm going to make a motion that we grant $500 from my account and $500 from Councilman Phillips' account.
Getting off cheap.
Second.
Wow. Did we discuss this?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
We just had a discussion. I just saw it.
I have a motion and a second to grant $500 from Mr. Vincent's account. Any further discussion?
Sam wants to get in.
And your account.
Oh, and my account.
I'm going to tell you how I think about Ducks Unlimited.
No, later, after the vote.
Come on, please. Let him speak.
We're a little discussion here. Ducks Unlimited promotes one thing, wetlands. Now, if we don't think we've got enough wetlands, we need to put some money in this thing. So, Lord, go.
Are you in? He says we got too many wetlands already. Just look out your back window. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No, sir.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I'm going to abstain. Motion carry.
God, you let Sam Wilson influence you like that. That's unbelievable.
Laurel U Sports.
Tainted him.
Laurel U Sports.
Make a motion to grant $250 from my account and $250 from Councilman Phillips' account.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to grant Laurel U Sports $500. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
Indian River School District.
I'd like to give $500 to
I'll give $250.
I'll give him $250.
Okay. So we got $1,000.
I consider Mr. Cole's a motion and Mr. Wilson's a second. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
That's how Nancy Pelosi does legislation. She you do something here, it deems something to be approved. So, but you kind of did it.
We're kind of creating jobs here, George.
He kind of did it.
The Spicer Memorial Tournament.
Who was that's all? Okay, that's Georgetown primarily.
Yes.
$100 from each account.
But I do need to qualify your motion that I can verify that's a 501(c), which I've not been able to do, but we can do that through the process.
That was the fallen police officers.
Yes.
Okay. $100 from each account. If no objection, Mr. Vincent has made the motion.
Second.
And Ms. Deaver, second. We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
Dagsboro Church of God.
$250 from my account.
Second.
That's a motion, Mr. Cole. I can't make a motion.
Oh, I'll make it.
Is there a second?
Yes, second.
Motion and second. Any discussion?
Do we need to specify? I guess it does it. That's for a community Easter egg hunt.
If you'd like, that's what it is for this
right.
This grant, yes,
right, okay.
And this particular one.
And that's important because it's been stated many times that any money that goes to a religious affiliated organization has to be open to the entire community. We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
The March of Dimes. I would like to suggest this grant could be a possibility paid out of the Human Service grant. It is a countywide grant. There are funds available. It is a human service type organization.
Why not?
I'll make a motion we use those funds.
We have paid $1,000 in the past to the same organization, although I think maybe we could allocate it a better way and pay it out of human service grant.
Human
but
service
I am
grants.
Recommending that amount.
I'll suggest human service grants pay $1,000.
Second.
March.
Mm-hmm. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes.
And the town of Fenwick Island.
$10,000 from my account. Could I get that motion, please?
You're going to be going to the beach or something.
Second, please. Motion and second. $10,000 from my account for lifeguards on Fenwick Island Beach, which is part of the county jurisdiction. We own some beach, fellas.
Was that?
And Mrs.
Well, the town of Fenwick is there's a portion of it is unincorporated.
Yes.
Is this for lifeguards for the unincorporated area?
Yes, it is.
That's state park.
No. Mr. Baker, would you like to elaborate?
Yes, the town provides lifeguard service for that portion
State
of
Park
that.
Yes. Okay, I didn't know
for that.
For that
area.
Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Dever?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Introduction of proposed zoning ordinances?
Yes, Mr. President, there are two. The first is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to park, store construction equipment and materials and light-duty metal fabrication to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 2.622 acres, more or less. And it's on behalf of Absher Construction, Inc.
I'll introduce it.
And the second was an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to replace 260 mobile home lots with 367 seasonal RV/camper sites to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 50.81 acres of a 138-acre tract.
I'll introduce that.
Thank you.
We have additional business. Before I begin to call them up, I know there may be discussion about the casinos. That's been a hot topic later. If you weren't here earlier, we have directed our administrator to place that on the agenda next week. There's some discussion this morning about whether or not staff should move all the way toward creating regulations that would apply to casinos in this county. It's come to my attention that right now our code is silent to casinos, which in effect makes them illegal in this county in county jurisdictional land. That was confirmed this morning, at least tertiary, by our legal attorney, who will be researching that this week and be providing us with a report. In addition, he will also be providing us with a discussion about our rules of procedures with respect to how council members can direct our staff to spend county resources putting together legislation. So those two items will be on next week. If you have comments about those, you're still welcome to come up, but you may find some of your answers next week if you want to come back. Mr. Parsons, I believe is his name. Is he still here?
Talked to you the other week.
Yeah, your name and address for the record, please.
My name's Hat Parsons, live in Laurel, Delaware. When licensing started for dogs, rabies shots, it was for the health of our dogs and the health of our people, and it was a modest fee that people could afford. Now, it's gone to special interest groups to get rich and force their agendas on everyone else. I'm here today because I feel our constitutional rights are being violated according to Kentucky Supreme Court. Mandated spayed neutering, two prices for altered and unaltered dogs are unconstitutional. Also, I feel that $3 is taken from the rabies shots to give the poor spayed and neutered their dogs. I also feel that is unconstitutional. What constitutes poor? I live on Social Security. When I register my dogs, I have to pay $75. It used to be a $31 kennel fee. I pay $75 for the kennel fee now. I pay $75 extra for spayed neutering. So I want to know how this is constitutional and how. I'm sorry. There's poor, supposedly poor, that's getting their dogs spayed and neutered for $20, and now they're getting a rabies shot also that we're paying for. How poor do you have to be? How many dogs can you get neutered for these prices? Because I know of some people that's getting 6 and 8 dogs neutered for $20 a piece. So how is that poor? Maybe they shouldn't have dogs.
Who does the neutering? We don't do that. The county doesn't do the neutering.
No,
what are you
sir.
Talking about?
What I'm saying is that $3 fee that everybody pays per dog?
We pay $10 if it's spayed and $15 if it's not,
if not
that's
spayed.
Neutered.
That's unconstitutional according to the Kentucky Supreme Court. To charge two separate fees for an altered or unaltered dog.
Okay, I see. Okay, I see. In Kentucky, they did that. Okay, but
well, I'm just
okay. I understand. We do have a differentiations in fees. That was to encourage people, I would think, to try to neuter their dog.
What I'm saying is now, it was costing us $31 for a $25 for a $25 license. Now it's costing us $150. It's costing $75 for the $3 charge and $75 for our new fees. So that's $150 it's costing me as a poor person to spay neuter other people's dogs. Doesn't hardly seem right to me.
You've just defined yourself as a poor person?
I live off Social Security, you call it.
But you have a kennel?
I have a 25 dog kennel. Yes, I do.
So you're a poor person on Social Security with a, are you housing other people's dogs? Or are they all your dogs?
They're my dogs. I've had them for 35 years.
You'd have a lot more money if you got rid of some of them dogs.
No, sir. You got all it's doing is you're changing these laws and you're making people
well, a
sell
kennel.
Their dogs to pay these fees. I over the years, I've sold very few dogs, but now it's getting to the point to where you're making people do this.
Do you have, for instance, that Kentucky ruling that you could share with our attorney?
I've been trying to get some stuff from the SPCA's like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
They won't give you any access to anything. They won't tell you any rules. The kennel requirements, I've asked for 3 years, four different officers for the kennel requirements. And nobody has them. By law, I understand that they're supposed to carry them in their truck at all times.
Okay.
This is what Endangered Breed Association has told me. No.
Gotcha. Anything else?
No, sir. That's basically it.
Well, let me encourage you if you can track down that court ruling.
But, well, there's a lot of things going on that people don't understand. Just like the gentleman a while ago said that dogs cannot kill other animals except for cats. Right?
That's discrimination
Section
against cats, isn't it?
A man in Laurel just paid a $150 fine for a cat getting in his kennel and getting killed. Now that kind of stuff is not right. I'm sorry. This is going on all over the place. People, they're putting their agendas on everybody else. If it's animal control, how come we've got cats everywhere? They're animals, right? I mean, you go behind Food Line in Laurel and you'll find at least 100 cats. If anybody else feeds a stray, they want to find you. But these cats is there and they won't do anything about it. It's not animal control because cats are animals and they are to pick them up. That's what they get paid for. And I might say very well, cats are running amok everywhere, but they won't do anything about it. That's just like when they want fines, they go to the kennel people or the people that's got their dogs rescued because they know where to find them.
Mr. Parsons, we try to limit this to maybe 3 to 5 minutes. I know you were interrupted. Is there anything else? I would encourage you to try to find that documentation if you could provide it to me.
You got the thing from Endangered Breeds to your email, right?
Yeah, I can forward that to our attorney if you'd like.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do it.
But all this stuff is just people's getting really sick of it. We're getting pushed around too much down here, and I think we can do a better job ourselves if that's possible. I mean, I don't know how this kind of stuff is done. This is my first time, as you can probably tell.
Well, I hope you'll come back again.
Well, I surely will.
Good. Yeah. All right. We're going to let some others talk, and we'll talk a little later.
Take that into consideration, sir.
Ms. Carol Summers, I believe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Carol Summers. I live at 217 Ocean View Boulevard in Lewis, and I'm here on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County. Good morning, President Phillips and members of council. I want to wish you a happy James Madison's birthday. The author of our Constitution. The League of Women Voters observes this day as Sunshine Day, reflecting the importance of open government. Last January, that's January 2009, the Sussex County League of Women Voters organized an observer corps of members who have been attending county council and planning and zoning commission meetings with the purpose of educating ourselves about how the system functions and identifying issues on which the League has positions. Many of our observers are here today, and I know you've seen them before. The reports the observers made were compiled into our first annual report, which we shared with the council. You should have received a copy of that. I hope you've had an opportunity to read this report, which highlights the following areas. Number one, courtesy and respect toward the public and among members of council. Two, communication with the public. Three, the First Amendment. Four, environment and energy conservation. Five, land use and affordable housing. Following each category, we offered ideas that we hope will be considered by council as a way to improve the flow of information to the public. That being said, I'd be happy to entertain any questions you may have. I do want to especially thank Frank Shade, who's going to give us all a tour of the complex later on, and Julie Wheatley, who's provided us with the county profiles.
There wasn't anything mentioned on the fiscal side. Is that something that you folks look at?
Well, we were beginners at this.
Okay.
So the only mention we made about the fiscal side was about the first time the first quarter budget was reviewed. We didn't have a chance to see what was in it. But we'll be working on that.
FYI, in the past, there weren't quarterly reports. The first time the public got kind of wind of where we were is about 6 months after our fiscal year end when we got our official audit. So I think we're moving in the right direction, as you'll probably agree. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I'll try to stop being rude and interrupting Sam Wilson. I'll do the best I can.
Right, don't hold your breath on this one. I believe, is it Esther?
I'll accept that, George.
Esther Sheath?
Don't interrupt.
Good morning, I'm Esther Shelton. I live at 18540 Drayton Hall Road, Lewis, and I'm president of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County. I'm here because this is the 2010 census is here, and we want people, as many people as we can get to respond, because it's very important. So these are some talking points that I hope that you all will use with your people in your district. There are anti-government people who are on Facebook who are saying that don't fill out the form, don't even open it.
Anti-government?
Yeah, anti-big government, and to them, people who take a census.
I resemble that remark, but go ahead.
However, it's constitutional. You can't have apportioned representation unless you have a census.
Sure.
So all that happens if you don't fill out your census form is that you have an inaccurate representation of your population. So it's really important to fill the form out for a whole lot of reasons. I've already mentioned congressional representation. Congressional representation can change based on your census figures. You can gain or lose representatives. And it also is used for redistricting at the state and local level. And it's interesting to think what this can mean to Sussex County, because we've had such a big influx of people in the last few years. So probably we're going to pick up more representatives. But it's not just in these ways that the census is used. Just to name a few, People use the census to attract new businesses to state and local areas. Over $300 billion in federal funds and even more in state funds depends on census data. Forecasting future transportation needs for all segments of the population, planning for hospitals, nursing homes, clinics, and the location of other health services, directing funds for people in poverty, estimating the number of people displaced by natural disasters, planning investments and evaluating financial risk, providing evidence in litigation involving land use, voting rights, and equal opportunity, planning urban land use, understanding consumer needs, making business decisions, determining areas eligible for housing assistance and rehabilitation loans. For every person who doesn't fill out a census form, Delaware state and local governments lose about $1,200 per person that they would have received from the federal government. Multiply that by 10, which will be the 10 years until you get another chance to, and you're, that's $12,000 per person that you're losing. So it's really to your advantage, to the community's advantage, for to get as many people signed up as you possibly can. The private sector also uses census data to determine where jobs and job programs are needed, and corporations use population numbers to determine locations for commercial enterprises, such as food stores, pharmacies, and other essential services. Why don't people fill out the form? The principal reason seems to be that they're afraid that the information about them in the census will be somehow used against them. Their fears are groundless. Their answers are protected by law, Title 13 of the U.S. Code, Section 9, and are strictly confidential. All Census Bureau employees are subject to a $250,000 fine and or a five-year prison term for disclosing any information that could identify a respondent or household. No court of law, not even the President of the United States, can access your individual responses. This was tested in 1953 during the Truman administration when the White House underwent renovation and the President needed to be relocated until it was finished. The Secret Service requested information from the Census Bureau on residents living in the proposed relocation area for the purpose of performing background checks. The information was denied because census data are absolutely confidential, even to the president. In another case in 1980, four FBI agents armed with a warrant entered the Census Bureau's Colorado Springs office, but no confidential information was released because a census worker held off the agents until her superiors resolved the issue with the FBI. Because the census isn't so important, we're sure that you're going to be urging the people in your districts to be sure to fill out the forms. It's a short form, it's only 10 questions this time. And so it shouldn't be that hard. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. David Glass.
Thank you.
Hi, Mr. Glass.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Do you have one for yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is David Glass. I live in Georgetown at 502 Edwards Street. Mr. Wilson is my representative or council person. And this is a copy of a letter that I had sent to Mr. Wilson in late January. Let me just read from paragraph number 2 if I can. My proposal, and this regards the collection of real estate taxes in the county of Sussex. My proposal is as follows. The tax bills, as you know, are sent out in August each year. The full amount is normally due by September 30 of each year. Many states, including Maryland, offer an option for real estate taxpayers to pay the tax bills in either one payment, the full amount due, or in two payments, one half and one half, spread out over a period of 1 year. 6 months after the bill is sent out, one half is due, and then 6 months after that, the second half would be due. Normally, if full payment is made, the taxpayer receives a discount of about 2% or 2.5%. For example, if the tax bill were, let's say, $1,000, the taxpayer would receive a reduction of 2 to 2.5%, or $20, if he paid the full amount by the normal due date. If the taxpayer chose to split it into two payments, there would be no discount, but this would benefit the taxpayer because he has an opportunity to make payments appropriate to their budget. Under such legislation, if this can be introduced here, the taxpayer would receive a discount of 2% if the amount were paid by the due date, September 30. If the taxpayer chose to pay in two equal installments, no discount would be available. The first of two equal installments would be due September 30. The second of two equal installments would be due March 30th, about 6 months after the first installment. Benefits of this proposal include it would help many taxpayers better allocate resources available to them to pay their tax obligation. Secondly, it probably would help to enhance more timely real estate tax collections for the county. Instead of having the full amount due at one time, the county would still receive the full amount, but there would be no difficulty or a less amount of difficulty for the taxpayer to pay the bill because it's split into two pieces. And finally, for those taxpayers who choose to pay their real estate tax bill in full, they would receive the benefit, 2 to 2.5% reduction in their tax bill. So I think that's what I wanted to propose, and I've asked Mr. Wilson kindly to support and perhaps introduce this legislation. Any questions?
No, I have actually.
Yes, sir.
I have a property in another state, and they actually send out a tax bill, and they give you about three or four months, different options. But they don't allow you to make a portion of the payment. It's in full, but you get a discount if you do it, say, this month, you get a discount,
right.
A lesser discount.
Is that in Virginia?
No, it was down further south in Florida, and they spread it over. So, and I have an option sometimes of saving a couple hundred dollars if I pay it early and it gets money in. Now partial payments, I don't think they permit that, but I'm not 100% sure. But I don't have any problem with that. We look to something like that as a way to encourage people to, you know, get the stuff in, and actually money then wouldn't all come in maybe at one time. We would see money.
And you also, in addition to that, sir.
Yeah.
Even though you don't have all the money coming in at one time, the county is not spending all its money at one time. You've got a monthly budget, a quarterly budget, a six-month budget, 12 months.
There's some merit to what you're saying.
The first thing,
yes, sir.
We have no control to reduce anybody's school tax bill.
No, I'm not saying to reduce it.
And I don't think anybody, I would hope the taxes here have been raised in 20 years.
They're already low.
As low as half that, I guarantee where you're paying your taxes somewhere else are a lot higher.
Oh, it's a lot higher, but I'm saying suggesting is they do have ways to spread it out.
We struggled this past year, staff did, we did, to balance the budget.
Mm-hmm.
We cut a lot of things. How in the world can we further reduce somebody's taxes?
Well,
the average person pays $100.
Or more importantly, delay that payment for us to operate.
Not the issue. Even though, but let's say, for example, you have a budget, a household budget of, let's say, $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month. You don't need all that $12,000 at one time, right? It comes in gradually, okay?
Well, and it's, some of our payments are.
Well, it can be worked out. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, other states do it. I don't have any problem with it. I mean, but like Mike says, we do have extremely low taxes. When you add on the school taxes, though, sometimes.
Well, we can't change them anyway.
Oh, I know that. But I'm just saying,
the lump sum that people have to mail in is, you know, could be $1,000, $1,200. It is cheap in other places. But say, do we have options into getting that money but then spreading it over a couple times? So
The flip side of that would be something which you discussed before the council earlier about delinquent taxes. Perhaps the amount of delinquent taxes could be reduced with this kind of program inaugurated, okay? And even if there were, even if in answer specifically to your question about further reduction in taxes, I'm not talking about a reduction in taxes, but if you wanted to do that, you could still offer the opportunity without a 2% reduction or a 2.5% reduction, split it up, as Mr. Cole had said.
With no discount. And
with no discount, right. Yeah. So, you know, I know that Mr. Wilson had raised a couple of questions with me before, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We appreciate you bringing that to us.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Anything else before we go into executive session? I'll take that motion, please.
So moved.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
But I'm glad too.